Welcome, welcome to Tide 45. People, if you like David Bowie and Timothy Chalamet, well, I've just melded them together. It's sitting right in front of me right now, right? That's what I got in front of me right now, people. This wonderful, sexy, androgynous, poppy, yet sophisticated Adam Noviello. Did I say that right?
That was perfect.
Okay, good. I find more often than not when musical theater artists transition to solo pop artists, it can be a little bit out of touch, dated, and daggy. Not the case, people. Not the case, okay? It's tasty treats, people. Tasty treats is what this is. The film clip alone could be possibly the best Australian music video clip I've ever seen. Yeah, you heard me say it, guys, all right? This dude gives Kylie Minogue those gold shorts a run for their money. Yes. I see big things for Adam. He's cutting edge. Artistically, it feels like he's involved in it all. The vocals, the acting, the kick and dance, son, right? So please give it up for my next guest, Adam Noviello.
I mean, after that intro, I'm done. What yeah, more right. do I need? That was sick. You Thank you so that? Much. Yeah, stunning.
Well, I know that you saw the David Bowie plate and you were like, oh, I love that.
I did. I absolutely admired it on my way in. And you were like, well, just wait. And you delivered. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Well, there is an artistic sense there where I feel like maybe was he an influence of yours? I just feel like there's some kind of embodiment there.
Absolutely. I mean, when you talk androgynous icons, he tops that list yes. all the time, wouldn't you say? It's just that pre-terms being, you know, non-binary, genderqueer, before they even existed, you yeah. know, Bowie was walking down the street in the UK in a dress.
I know, you man. You know,
and for anyone on the gender spectrum, he is an utter icon for all of us. Incredible.
100%. Yeah. At a time where, you know, we struggle with it now, but yeah. it's like, you know, in the UK where he was from, you know, I listened to him and Boy George talk about it and it was just like, yeah, like people would freak out in a good and a bad way.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, we're talking people like Bowie and Prince who like, you know, women wanted to fuck these men, you know, because yeah. they were so unapologetic with wearing huge platform shoes and dresses. And it's, yeah it's inspiring to this day, 100%.
Nice. And Chalamet, I just feel like there's a little bit of a face there with that.
I'll take it. Huh? I'll absolutely take it.
That's
He's
pretty good.
Beautiful, talented. And again, another cutting edge artist. So I'm like spoiled.
Huh?
Spoiled this
That's
evening.
Because you act as well. So But I did feel that the energies there were there within you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you for dropping by. I know you just did, you've come straight from rehearsals and yes. I love that.
Yes. Huh? Showbiz. Hustle. Showbiz, keep yes. going. What else am I going to do? Sit at home? I might as well chat with you. It's the best.
Exactly. You know what I like about you and people that do things. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to book musicians because they're always kind of like, oh, I just, they're putting stuff off or whatever. But yeah. I noticed with cats, we're like, yep, cool, I'll do it. I'll yep. come after the thing, right?
Mm.
And then when you got people with like 2 week breaks, they're like, let me just see.
So, what's that old saying? It's like, if you want something done, ask a busy person.
That's right.
I think that applies.
Now, in regards to all of this, because you do a lot, and I think because you do a lot, maybe we'll start from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So where did it all begin for you with your artistry and performance?
I think music was always first for me. I think, you know, I've been very blessed with a theatre career and everything, but, you know, I remember being really, really little and finding my mum's Tina Turner Greatest Hits album. And I remember putting it on and being so inspired by the sounds that she made and the tunes. And I would, you know, flounce around the house pretending I was Tina Turner. And yes. that's when my beautiful mum sat me down one day and was like, Adam, would you like to go and have like dance classes and singing lessons? I remember thinking, yes, please, that'd be so good. Yes, please, yes, please. And so for me, it was always music. I always dreamed of singing. Singing was always first. And
right.
everything that's sort of come since has kind of been an amalgamation of the fact that I love to sing and I use that as a way to express myself.
Mm.
And it's where I found when I think about the origins of my joy, it was always singing.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it was definitely that. And then, you know, going through high school and doing some school musicals and stuff, I was like, huh, there's this platform and this space where I can sing and I can dance and I can tell stories and sort of theatre kind of absolutely took the lead. But when I think about the origins of my artistry, it's always been wanting to sing and tell my stories that way.
So it wasn't in your family, it was just within you, and they recognized that, and you had what sounds like a good mother.
Yes.
And said, okay.
Yeah, there was no, I don't have any, in my immediate family, there are no musicians or artists at all. I definitely was the sort of freakazoid child in that regard.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, my mum, you know, was taught piano as a young woman, but so were a lot of people. It was definitely a sort of a pastime, you know, a lot of people were put into, but no, mm-hmm. I didn't have an immediate family member that was singing where I was just like, I want to be like them. It just came from within me. And I was lucky that, yeah, I had parents that were willing to, you know, sign me up for some classes and things. And then, yeah, the rest is history. And here we are.
Were you going to like, because that was flourishing within you, did they send you to a school that was, you know, musical theater based or kind of?
Not at all. I think when I look back.
Like a Catholic boys' school or something?
Oh, no, my parents. You know, my parents are the most un-showbiz and my mum is the most non-stage mother, stage mother. So it was very much like, okay, what are the local sort of singing and dancing schools near where we live? And I was just thrown in there. So there was no sort of speciality training. It was just like singing lessons and just your typical sort of jazz dance classes, really. I didn't really discover a way to sort of bring them all together until high school, and I went to just, again, a local school where they put on a musical every year.
Right.
So that's kind of where it took off. But, you know, no, there was no sort of speciality training. I was lucky to discover it sort of on my own and had the, I guess, the ambition to just kind of keep at it. And I consider myself one of the lucky people that even from a young age, I was like, I want to do this, right. You know? And I grew up with so many people who were like, oh, I don't know if I want to study this or I want to blah, but I... You know, I reckon from as early as maybe 8 or 9, I was like, I want to be a singer.
Right. Yeah. Rock and roll.
So, cool, man. Yeah. And I've been lucky to live the life I've lived so far.
That's a beautiful thing. So I was having a conversation with my sister-in-law yesterday and she's like, she opened up my book, which she shouldn't have anyway, but she was like, oh, Adam Noviello.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Can you close my book, please? And she's like, is he coming on the show? You know, I taught him for a while. I go, did you? So, or did she at RVCA?
Oh, Natalia.
Natalia Babenko.
Yes, so Natalia was I did the Foundation Music Theatre course at VCA in 2012.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was head of dance at the time. I'm unsure if she is at the moment, to be honest, but at the time, yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
She was my core dance teacher at university. Yeah. A huge guide for me. I remember because I auditioned for the 3-year course after I completed Foundation and was unsuccessful, but that's fine. But I remember, to this day, I remember a brilliant phone call with Natalia where she was like, this doesn't mean it's the end for you as far as not getting into the 3-year course.
I got chills, man, because that's exactly what happened to Phoenix.
Yes.
And look at you high flyers.
We bond over it all the damn time. When we worked together, I remember finding out the same thing, that our story was the same, and the fact that we did that 1-year course and then didn't go on to do the 3-year course. But we very much looked at each other and we're like, yeah, but look at us now, darling.
Exactly.
And yeah, we bonded over that 100%.
Well, and also too, just the timing. And when I spoke to Natalia, she was fighting for you both. She really wanted you in, you know, I don't know, can I even say that? But yeah, she really wanted
you. Yeah, that was years ago.
Exactly. She really wanted you guys in that course. But the thing was, at the end of it, and with the timing of things like COVID, is that you guys, those people were coming out of that course going straight into 2 years of lockdown where you've been able to work, the same with Phoenix. So
totally.
That's a total blessing in disguise that you didn't get into that 3-year and did the 1-year foundation.
Possibly.
Because you guys are killing it.
Yeah, look.
Killing it.
Yeah, and in reflection, like, of course, at the time it was heartbreaking because I just had this, and a lot of us do, you have that idea of getting into that course is going to mean I'm going to have the career I dream of.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, in that moment of not being accepted, and look, I wasn't accepted to all of them. Whopper didn't want to borrow me either, blah, blah, blah. We could go on all night. But that moment, when I reflect on it, I'm not sure if I was ready, and I'm not sure if what I presented in those auditions was enough, to be fair.
Right.
I think what made me the artist I am as far as an actor and those things was the rejection. It was that, do I accept this as the end of my story, or do I take it as an opportunity to rise above? And I you know, by all accounts, have done that.
Well, I was listening to Mark Ruffalo, and he was talking about he was a barman for a very long time, and he went for something like, he counted them, it was like, I think, over 1,000 auditions.
Wow.
And just got, but he just kept up his weekly acting class.
Yep.
Of course, we know him now as one of the greats, and it's just you just need need that resistance and determination, man.
Yeah, and it was, and I was so lucky to have inspirational people at a young and like you know Natalia and teachers that I've had that you know absolutely encouraged me. But I remember going to a masterclass. I think it was with Ben Vereen, and he made a comment that was, as an artist, no matter what field you're in, school is never out. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, if you're playing for 50 people or 5,000, you can always learn something. And the day as an artist you believe you know everything there is to know, you should stop, because you don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always be a beginner at everything, even if you feel like you're not, because then you've got something to glean and learn from.
Absolutely. And become better. And isn't that what we should all want as humans and artists, just to always strive to be better than we were yesterday?
100%, brother.
Yeah.
And like, so in regards to, you said singing really kind of hit you first. Mm. Can you run me through maybe some of the things you were listening to? Was it super poppy? Were you just listening to what was on the radio? Did you go for a deep dive? What was the first thing that affected you?
It was that Tina Turner album, absolutely. But I'd say it was pop music, but like, you know, I grew up in a, you know, a very Australian house where, you know, John Farnham was playing all the time and, you know, and I was thrashing that Tina Turner album. So, but I was always drawn to, you know, finding those sort of artists always drew me to other artists where they told their stories with their voices. At that time, and to this day, I would say I've never been drawn to overly produced music. Like, I want to hear someone's story and I want to feel someone's heart when they sing. So, you know, and I through my grandmother, I found Judy Garland. And and from there, I found other Torch singers. I found, you know, I found Bassey and I found, you know, Cilla Black. And I found those kind of artists that stood there in front of a microphone and just bled, you know. And that always fascinated me, because I go, what are you accessing? And like, I feel like I was learning to sing and I was making, you know, pleasant sounds, but like, what can I do to then become a storyteller? And I think that's how I found acting and how I found theater, because that's the job in musical theater. It's like you stand on that stage and you have to tell a story.
Judy was always good at that, right?
Oh, the greatest.
Sleeve, right?
Absolutely. The great. And to me as a vocalist, someone I can only hope to, you know, find a morsel of that, because that's what she did through all of the trials and tribulations of her life. Every single song, she sung it like the last time she might sing it.
100%.
And became every single word she sang. And yeah, just inspiring stuff.
Yeah, there's a certain vulnerability to her performances, which is, you know, she's known for that. And I guess a lot of those people, even Tina and Bassey,
same thing, just park and bark, and like singing songs that they've sung hundreds of times. But if you watch any clip of a Tina concert, she ain't done that song ever. She's like, this is a new song, but it's like, it's, you know, 2001 and What's Love Got to Do, it's been out for 20 years and she's still singing it like it's brand new for her. It's incredible.
Because you're a dancer too, obviously, those moves. And what we've seen is, you know, when you mirror, I was watching a lot of Beyonce stuff, fantastic, but you can see where she's gleaned from with Tina.
Ooh,
and the,
yeah,
you know, that those kind of, you know, what's that one? Put a Ring on It, whatever.
Oh, Single Ladies,
Single Ladies is like really Tina-esque.
Oh, it's Ike and Tina Turner. It absolutely is. It's movement and it's physicalized. It's so exciting. Yeah.
Yes. No, man, she's one of the greats.
100%. Couldn't agree more.
Nice. So then tell me about the acting situation too, because I know you've done like, what, like some, a couple of films and some shorts and that kind of thing. How are you balancing it all? And tell me a bit about the acting first. Let's start there.
I theater was where I discovered it. I found, you know, my school productions and it loved it. I loved, you know, just the storytelling, and I loved the idea, and to this day, of the live theater thing where you sit in a space and you watch a whole thing play out over however long. It's so thrilling. There's nothing, no feeling like it. So I found that, and, you know, went to drama school, you know, went to VCA and found another way. Like I said, you know, song was always my first love, but then I found another way to be able to tell stories and to become other humans and to explore the human condition. And so theater was where it started. But then, you know, I, again, back to those people who inspired me and teachers and lecturers that I had, you know, I just wanted to go towards a place to be creative and didn't ever want to feel limited to like, oh, as a performer, I do musicals, which, you know, you can carve out an amazing career doing just that. Lots of people do. But I never, ever wanted to feel stagnant. If being an artist meant that, yeah, I could put on a cabaret show or I could then, you know, be on screen and, you know, and again, tell stories that way. Mm. Or, yeah, make my music. You know, I just kind of go with my instincts lead me, and I never try to block my impulses. If I've got an idea for something and it's completely different to the thing I might be currently doing, I'll judge it later. I'll just go, oh yeah, cool, that's an idea, I'll just do that now. And if it becomes something, it becomes something. And if it doesn't, well, I tried. I just always want to feel like I'm exercising my artist and working, you know.
That's a great perspective on that because, you know, having a lot of, I had over 60 artists on the show and wow. I know a lot of it. And just from working with a lot of people, whether it be in musical theater mm-hmm. or singing or acting, is that that can be really stifling for them, that mm. kind of not wanting to look like a fool for the first time. I think they kind of, because they're seen in a particular light and they're like, oh, well, I'm good at this.
Yep.
And they can get really anxious about that situation. So it's kind of cool that you go, you know, like what you said, and let your artistry kind of just evolve and mm-hmm. kind of fly in that regard. And it doesn't seem that, I'm sure that we all suffer from some kind of anxiety or performance anxiety, but mm-hmm. that you're comfortable enough to kind of go in different genres and do vignettes of things and not be frightened about it too much where it's not stopping
yeah.
you. It
I think, see. Yeah. And I think honestly that early career rejection set me up to be that kind of performer because, you know, I kind of always feel like I've got nothing to lose.
Sure.
And all the worst that can happen is you create something, it's shit, no one comes and no one takes it in at all. But at the end of the day, that thing that I've created didn't exist until I put it there. So
yes.
I always just kind of have the attitude of like, just make shit and worry about what people think about it after the fact.
Right.
And all I can do, even if that experience is an utter train wreck, is learn something. Or best case scenario, people like it, which I've been lucky to have. That's happened for me.
Well, I'm digging Heretic, man.
Thank you.
See it before you came.
Thank you.
Stuck in my head, man.
Good. That's what we want.
Love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolute killer. So creatively and how do and I got to ask, man, like that film clip, I don't know who you know. You must or are you signed? Because that just the effects on it and all that kind of stuff, it looked like, you know, I've said this to a couple of people and especially independent artists. I go, just be careful with the film clip. It can look a little bit Neighbours.
Yeah, yeah.
But yours doesn't, man. It looks fucking super, like, professional, right?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's
did you do nice. That? Are you signed at the moment? Or are you independent? Or
yeah, so Global League is the independent label who's worked on the distribution with me. But I have to say, Global did not come into the picture until the song was recorded. And I'd always had the concept of the film clip in mind well before they became involved in the process. So as far as the film clip is concerned, you know, I can boast that I produced that on my own and collabed with, yeah, Sean Higgins, who directed it, shot it and edited it. And he's, like you've just described, he's done a stellar job.
It's just, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. And you look beautiful in it.
Thank you.
And it's just... It's sexy and it's naughty and that's what I mean. Like you've kind of got that's what Bowie used to do, was really challenge us.
Yeah.
And even visually, right?
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Oh, God. Everything he created was always as much about what it looked like as the same as what it sounded like. And that's what I wanted for this. I think once we had recorded the song, I immediately saw imagery. I'm like, this song isn't just an oral experience. It has an aesthetic and it has a style.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to create something that absolutely, you know, served that. And yeah, we pulled it off.
Apparently. I think it served really well and kudos to you because, I think it's that thing where you are putting your finger in a few pies, you know, and it's serving you really well because I've seen it before where there are really good singers, but aesthetically, they don't know what they want something to look like, you know,
yeah.
or to tell that story of it. And we are such a visual people and the way that we take things in now more than ever is that that storytelling is a big part of it as well. And I think sometimes the people either drop the ball or they don't even consider it.
Yeah, it's also another completely new platform of putting yourself out there. It's brave enough to create music that comes from you, and then it's a whole other thing to go, yeah, now I'm going to put my face in front of it. You know what I mean? It's a whole separate entity of bravery, I think. And I guess I'm not shy of doing that.
Well, remember when Michael Jackson used to release an album or a single and they would put on like a special?
Yes.
And you would just watch the film clip and you'd be like eating popcorn at 7:30. So, oh, he's releasing a new one.
Yeah.
And you would watch it.
Oh, can you imagine any of his, and you think of the original MTV icons like Madonna and those sort of people. Yeah. It was always a marriage between the tune and the visual. And in theater, we have this saying like full out, no marking. And that's what I wanted with Heretic. I'm like, let's just go full out.
Yes,
No marking.
I like that.
So I was like, I want beautiful designer outfits. I want incredibly beautiful people. I want my hair to look stunning, and I want it to be bold. And that's what I said to Sean when I called him. I said, Dol, I'm releasing this track and I'm making a video. You're going to direct it and we're going full out and we're not marking it.
Wow.
And that was how it began.
Nice. You're going to go far, kid. You're going to go far.
Yeah.
So tell me about the musical side of it then, mm-hmm. in regards to, had you been, did you write the song or did you collaborate? Yeah. You wrote that one?
Yeah. So I like many artists, it was a lockdown project, and I've been bashing around writing songs for a long time. And, you know, like a lot of people, I've got, you know, 50 odd absolute trash songs sitting in, you know, voice memos over many years. But I have a few mates that I've been sort of, you know, like I've, you know, bashing around with writing songs for a long time. And mm-hmm. I'd had a few sort of older songs that I'd always wanted to record. And then in lockdown, you know, the musical I was doing before COVID hit got cancelled early. And then the next tour I was meant to start, like I think 2 months after that, was also cancelled. So I was,
What musical was that?
I was doing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix, yeah.
And we were in Brisbane and we were almost about to start our Brisbane season when we got sent home. So that quickly got shut down, and then I was meant to begin The Secret Garden. And that was sadly cancelled. And so, yeah, I was at home and unsure of what my theatre career was and who I was. And I like many artists, had that little crisis of like, okay, so when will we be able to do what we do again? And we were all very unsure. So that's when I kind of one day just went, you know what, I think now's the time. And so I had a shitty keyboard at home and I just wrote things and eventually, you know, created a little collection that I was like, I think this is a pretty sick EP if it's done properly. And, you know, connected with my producer, Oscar Sharar, who is Sydney based.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back and forth for ages, and particularly with the focus on Heretic, I felt like I was really onto something with Heretic as far as the lyric and the chorus hook. I was like, oh, I really like this. And so Heretic was sort of my core focus. And then went back and forth with Oscar with, you know, reference tracks and like, you know, new things that I'd written and shitty voice memos. And I said, look, mate, as soon as I can get on a plane, I'm coming up to see you. And I think we just fucking do this again, full out, no marking.
Yes.
And the moment we were allowed to travel, I was on a plane and I spent 5 days in a studio with Oscar, and I recorded a whole bunch of things. And then Heretic just utterly stood out. We were just like, this is where it starts. And whether that begins a journey of, you know, further singles, this is what we thought at the time, further singles and an EP, but this is where it begins. Because I hadn't released a song before. So I'm like, if I'm going to have a debut single, this is the one.
This is the benchmark.
This
right
is
here.
It. Yeah. So I co-wrote it with my friend Chloe. You know, I'd gotten it to a certain point in lockdown, and then when we could, you know, when it wasn't illegal to go to your friend's house, you know, went to Chloe and I said, oh, what do you think of this? And I'm like, and sort of played through things, and she was like, yeah, yeah. And we kind of finished it together, and then took it to Oscar, who I co-produced it with, and it is, you know, I think it's fresh and fun, and I think
it is so fresh and fun. it's got fucking everything that a song should have, in a pop sensation, right? But then you kind of, you come in with this kind of, right, like hard operatic type style voice, right? Which kind of contradicts it, that, what you think. And then it's got this kind of dancey beat element to it. And then it's just got the drummer.
Yeah.
Right? And then fucking lyrically, you kill it too.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, it's a pop song, but when you go through the lyrics, man, there's a lot of things being said there.
Yeah, I've got shit to say.
Yeah.
I've got opinions. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate all that. And again, we go back to Bowie. You know, you listen to Let's Dance, like when he breaks into, you know, Tremble Like a Flow. Like he was a taut singer, man. Like Bowie was, you know, and I was so attracted to that. I'm attracted to theatricality and let's, you know, you look at like your Lady Gagas and those sort of people that it's like, it's theater.
Yes.
You know, we're making bangers that we dance to, but it's theater. It's dramatic and it's huge. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, my turn.
we got married to Wild is the Wind, which is very operatic.
Yes. Right?
The way that his interpretation of that is absolutely amazing. And it does have that kind of hard operatic thing. And, you know, of course, it wanes in and comes out with dynamics, but it's definitely there.
Mm.
So, yeah, I just think I love that contradiction when you go, okay, I wasn't expecting that because it's not the sound.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, if you're trying to copy something, you're already behind.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I definitely just felt like when we were recording it, there's not much vocal layering on it either. I just was like, no, I think we just focus on the lyric. Just let me belt it out. And there's a couple of little things on the verses, but like the chorus is just...
Let me just belt it out.
Yeah, I'll just belt it and that'll be fine. And that's what's on the recording.
You know, I was listening to Denzel Washington and he goes, he was saying something like, whoever said less is more was lying. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's Denzel, you know, one of the greatest actors alive.
Yes.
And, of course, in some parts there is some truth. You can tell when someone's coming in a little too hot.
Yeah.
But what he does, and you know, when he can be big and bold and he can take a performance somewhere, is that you've got to be able to kind of take those risks or go, you know what, I'm gonna shoot this thing.
Yeah, and I think if it comes from your authentic self, you can't take something too far. I'm generalizing, but you know, creatively, if it's you and you are just going, you know, all out with who you are and what you want to say and how you want to say it,
sure,
just do it.
Yeah,
you know, like you're only going to regret not taking it as far as you should have later.
I'm sure someone told Freddie Mercury to tone it down a little bit.
Oh, and I'm sure he told them to fuck the fuck off.
Right? And we would have those kind of performances.
Imagine if Freddie had been like, yeah, I'll just tone it down. Blah. No way.
Little out, Freddie.
Yeah, that's not what we wanted. And he knew that. He knew.
Yeah. Well, let's give them a little taste of what we're talking about so they've got a little reference point, the Tight 45ers. And this is Heretic and, you know, it was that thing, you know, I prejudged because Lani was like, look at this guy. He's a musical theatre guy. He's doing this. I was like,
another music theatre person.
And then I fucking mind blown, dude. I was like, I got to get this guy on my podcast. Yes! He's amazing. Sorry, am I using it? I don't know. Is that right? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say anymore.
No, you're right. You're all good.
I say, dude, man, but I say to everyone.
Oh, look, we could have a gender. We could have a whole episode talking about gender. Trust me. But no, you're fine. I appreciate it.
All right, let's do this. I'm a heretic to my life. I don't want to take a wife. I don't stand in the mirror and flex. I'm a heretic to my sex, yeah. I'm a heretic to my life. I don't wanna take a wife. I don't stand in the mirror and flex. I'm a heretic to my sex, yeah. Your mind, boy, decide, boy, work your strut, bitch, pose, now point your toes, or get in line, boy, use your disguise, boy, I'm a heretic to my life, I don't wanna take a while.
I don't stand in the mirror and flex. I'm a heretic to my sex, yeah, yeah. I'm a heretic to my life. I don't wanna take a wife. I don't stand in the mirror and flex. I'm a heretic to my sex, yeah, yeah. Reality, don't feel your fantasy. Just use your mind, boy. Do you like boys? Don't be a slut, God knows. Hang with your bros. Now get in line, boy. Everyone likes boys. Now get in line, boy. Everyone likes boys. Now get in line, boy. Everyone likes boys. I'm a heretic to my life. I don't wanna take a wife. I don't stand in the mirror and flex. I'm a heretic to my sex, yeah, yeah. I don't
Adam, fuck, man. Come on. You got to be happy with that.
I feel, you know, we've been working on this for so long with all the marketing stuff. It's been out for nearly 4 weeks and I still hear it and I go, yeah, it's a banger. It's cute, isn't it? Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Man. You know, like, just in regards to, like, Aussie singers and things like that. Mm. You know, I felt that feeling, like, you know, when Black and Gold came out, do you know that song?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. I remember having that same kind of emotion, similar to when I first heard yours, which is like, like lyrically, I'm like, fuck, this person's saying something.
Mm.
And but then also it's like, but it's also a fucking club banger.
But let's fucking dance. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why, you know, the content of the song is, you know, about, you know, gender and you know, feeling like you don't fit in that binary. But for me, I wanted that to be celebratory. I wanted to talk about it and I wanted to say something about it, but I didn't want the song to be rooted in, you know, the trauma of, you know, gender identity and the, you know, the trials that come with that. I want it to be a moment of just like, we're fierce and, you know, and whatever spectrum you're on in that regard, just live that and breathe it and love it. And so then I was like, well, it has to be something we dance to.
Yeah.
It has to be something where we feel alive.
Mm.
And yeah, I think it does that.
And it's such a great time to be doing it because there is such a movement more than ever, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's happening, you know, with that is that, the gender spectrum has always been this gray thing. And, you know, we talk about Prince and Bowie and those. It's always been there. There's always been a community of people that don't identify or connect with being male or female. What we have now is terminology and we have, you know, words that can make it clearer for people. But I, you know, the concept of genderqueerness and that is not new. What we have now is a conversation.
Yeah.
And a way to talk about it. And so I just wanted to put my two cents in that says, yeah, there are people living on that spectrum. And they're all fantastic, you know? And that's why in the music video, when people see it, that There is a cast of people that are in the clip, and all those people identify on the gender spectrum. So everyone in the clip lives on the gender spectrum because, like I said, I wanted it to be inclusive. I wanted it to be a moment for that community that is like, we're here and we're fierce, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beautiful, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
I loved it, man. I'm going to get enough of it. I keep playing it all the time.
Good. Please. Please.
About 50 of those plays are mine, all right? Maybe more.
When I check Spotify for artists every day, I'm like, oh, yep, he's at it again.
Surely that's doing well in Europe and things. I know it's only been 4 weeks, but I could just see that they're like on the London and German scene and things like that.
It's actually doing really well in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could just see that.
Yeah. They really keep. It's actually my top stream country is the US.
Really?
Yes. Which, you know, I'll take it. But I didn't expect that. I obviously assumed, you know, Australians would get amongst it because we're good at supporting our own. But yeah, I think it's like when I top countries on Spotify, that's just Spotify. Yeah, where the USA, Australia, Germany, top three.
That way.
Yeah.
There's some hillbilly watching it and go, what are you watching? Nothing.
Nothing. But they're in the room just dancing and putting on a lip. Yes. I hope that I want that for those people. Yeah.
Well, you know, like it's become so polarized now, hasn't it? In certain places and spaces.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes.
Which is great. And just talk. Just talk about it and allow people to be who they are and just respect that. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I think the current times we're asking of people, and that's all I want. And that's, I want people to hear this song. And what's been actually beautiful since the release of the song is I've received contact from so many people, whether it be via Instagram or Facebook or whatever, who I don't know, who have found me and found the song or whatever, and have just been very, you know, one of the initial messages I got after release day was this human who just messaged me and said, I finally have a song that I can dance to that is for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it. Job done.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it comes in waves, doesn't it? Because I remember in the 90s, things were very androgynous when I was growing up because, you know, Madonna came out with the book and all that kind of stuff. And it seemed very like, you know, backup dancers and all that kind of thing. And it just seemed like quite an acceptable thing.
Yeah.
Cher was coming out with some new stuff.
Big time.
And then it kind of took a bit of a turn. And I guess it always kind of works in those ways. But now, again, I feel like, you know, I guess your generation and the next ones to carry the torch.
Yeah, and I think what's happening, if you look at sort of movements in pop music, and I think, yeah, Madonna is obviously a trailblazer on so many levels. But what's happening now, I'm finding in, you know, I'd say the last 5-10 years maybe, is that we're getting queer artists being given mainstream space and given mainstream attention who are being unapologetically queer.
Yeah.
You know, we no longer have queer artists hiding behind their sexuality and for whatever reason, you know, there was your George Michaels and your Elton Johns and those sort of people. But now we've got people like Lil Nas X who's kissing men on stage at major music awards.
Sure.
We've got people like Years and Years who are, you know, being very sexual with, you know, people on their own gender in their film clips. We've got your Troye Sivan, you know, these artists who are just going, oh yeah, I'm male and I'm singing about fucking other men.
Sure.
We're all cool with that? Even if you're not, don't care. Here we go. You know, and I think that's the movement that I feel like I'm part of now and I'm contributing to that just says, I don't need to pretend to be something to be successful. I can just be me, you know?
What I liked about George was when, you know, when he came out because of what had happened was that then he fucking doubled down on it and was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, here
Let's
we go.
Let's do a fucking film clip. Damn Let's go outside. Let's, you know, because they were trying to judge him through the mud and say, that, you know, just give it that kind of real, you know, that dirty kind of sensibility to
it. Yeah,
they
tried to make it ugly. And he was like, well, no, it's actually quite beautiful. Watch this. Yeah, it's a cool time. It's exciting. And the more I see it, the more I'm just, you know, thrilled for LGBT plus people and, you know, and that's why, yeah, I had little fear putting the music video together because I was like, yeah, I'm going to be naked in this bit. Yeah, and I'm going to wear a dress and that thing was, you know, designed for a woman, but I'm going to wear it because I can and I want to.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely. And like you said, there are a lot more conversations even with kids and people are just aware of that kind of, that it's actually normal.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Yeah. And I think that's all people have in that community have ever asked for. It's like, we just want space. We want a seat at the table. We don't want to take over your world. And we don't, you know, more rights and more acceptance for us doesn't mean less for you. It's just, we're all here and we're all trying to live and thrive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good on you.
Thank you.
So what now in regards to, so what musical are you doing now?
So I'm rehearsing Tommy with Victorian Opera.
Ooh.
Yes, which is, again, another, it was a casualty of COVID there for a little while.
Yeah.
But it is happening. We are in the theatre, tomorrow, and we open on the 22nd of February.
Have you got a song? Are you kind of
Tommy's
got some great music, man.
Amazing track list. Yeah, I'm actually one of the very lucky singers who sings Pinball Wizard.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
And so many people I've spoken to when I'm like, I'm doing Tommy, and they're like, oh my god, Pinball Wizard. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm on that.
That's me. yeah, so that's exciting. But as far as what's next music wise, you know, Heretic continues to grow, which is blowing my mind. I always imagined that we'd be absolutely on the train of the second single by now, but the label are like, no, we keep writing Heretic because it's, you know, doing as well as it's doing. But like I said, when I recorded Heretic, I recorded a whole bunch of stuff. So, and I have no intention of them staying in the vault.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool.
Stay tuned.
So I'm guessing maybe you haven't recorded them yet though, have you?
Yeah, I have.
What, done and dusted?
Six tracks, mastered, ready to go.
No way.
Yes way.
Oh, that's so good too, because you're doing Tommy. I was like, oh, fuck, you'll have to wait to do after
Tommy. No. The only thing that will determine, you know, how long it takes to release further singles and potential EP is just the fact that I'm going full out, no marking. So second single though, there'll be a video, 100%. Sean and I are already sort of dreaming up ideas, and yeah, there'll be more. There's going to be more. Can't wait.
Well, you've done it with the first one. I think a lot of people will support you in that because they can see that it can be done by you.
Thank you. Yeah. I wanted to just come out the gate sprinting, and we'll just keep going.
Amazing. I look forward to it. And you know, you just, I'm sure you've been told, you got the thing.
Thank you.
You got that thing.
It's so nice.
You have it. You know, because it's all there, and it's not from the acting to the dancing to your beautiful, unique voice and storytelling, even fucking lyrics. Like, it's just, you're an artist.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. I look forward to all the things in that vault and everything to come.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No worries, brother. All right. We're out. Woo! Heretic.